excuse me, I was riding to work this morning, and I've just been kind of randomly picking places in the Bible to listen to. And this morning I was listening to the book of Romans, and started in Romans 1, and when I pulled out of my driveway, I got about a 32-mile drive, so got a little bit of time to listen to the Word of God, and I was listening. And I run across in Romans 5, where it was talking about the offense and how that grace abounded, and I heard a sentence in there that just had stuck in my mind, and maybe the Lord's going to let me use it to preach it, but I did that, and I think I taught Sunday morning in Sunday school, and I talked about reading the Word of God daily, and so it helps us in our time of need in that moment, and the Lord used that to help me in my need, and then later on, someone contacted me. I just kind of like to tell y'all how these things come about, and was somewhat discouraged, and I get that, and I've been there. Another preacher contacted me, and they was discouraged, and I just sent them back a message, and I said, well, don't, at the end of my message, I said, don't throw in the towel. That's the easy thing to do. The hard thing to do is to continue. And I said, here's a passage of Scripture that's helped me, and I sent him this that we're about to read, and I didn't know when I sent it to him that by lunchtime, when I got to do a little studying, that the Lord was going to bring me right back to Philippians 1 and let me look there. And so hopefully, it will be helpful to you as well. I'm just up here inventing words. Helpfully. I guess that is a word already, but maybe if not, I'll coin the phrase. So verse number 23, Philippians 1 and verse number 23, and I'm going to do my best to kind of sip on this water. It's probably what I should have done Sunday morning, too. Might not have died quite as bad. That's a joke. Verse 23. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. That's an important phrase, especially in the book of Philippians. Having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. Heavenly Father, please bless the reading of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. To provide context, I wanted to read all the way down through verse number 30. I don't think I will preach down through there that far, and this may even end up being somewhat short for me tonight, but I think about what Paul's writing to the church at Philippi, the Philippians, and I think about something that Paul said. Now, he wasn't at Philippi when he said this, or he wasn't writing to Philippi when he said this, but when Paul was going to see Caesar, and trying to get to Caesar to where he could plead the cause and give them the gospel and get to Rome. He said in the book of Acts, what mean ye to break my heart? I go bound in the Spirit. And that doesn't mean that he was physically bound. It means that God had bound him to a task, and he was going to complete it. Whether it was the way that he thought it was going to be, or how it was going to fall out how he wanted it to. Paul dealt with a lot of things. If you read in 1 Corinthians, you read about his being shipwrecked. You read about him being beaten. You read about him being, quite literally, in the book of Acts, he was stoned to death, near to death, and left for dead outside of Lystra and Derbe. And you know what he did? He got up and he went back to them and preached to them some more. I don't even know if I really even like preaching to people that throw rocks at me now, let alone leave me for dead. Amen? But Paul did it. And when you come to this passage of Scripture, it has always been, for me, applied to heaven and the joy of heaven. And you know, I've quoted it and I've said it and I've heard other people say it. I'm in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Jesus, which is far better. And we stop right there and we take that one verse and we say, man, I'm just ready to go. And, you know, we've really suffered for the cause of Christ, haven't we? There's a lot of sarcasm mixed in with there. Our suffering for the cause of Christ is nothing compared, especially to the Apostle Paul. Yes, there's been adversities. Yes, there's been difficult times. Yes, there are things that have happened, but not quite the way that he dealt with them. And so for Paul to say, I'm in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better, he wasn't just making a light statement about just getting to go to heaven when he died. Paul says, I am at the point of death. I'm done. What you're reading is an emotional plea to a group of people. It is not just a fondness of, oh, heaven's just on the other side. This is an emotional plea to a group of individuals to live according to how God wants them to live, because Paul is done with this old world. He's done. So if I can paint you a picture of the Apostle Paul's life and what he's going through, I think sometimes we get, I call it the Sunday school characters about Bible characters and what they were. And we see the big guy with the big strong guy, and he's tall and got a chiseled chin, and he's the hero guy, and he's walking around with his chest swelled up. And you know, we see the guy that we're kind of taught was a hero, but that doesn't at all fit the description, the biblical description of the Apostle Paul. He was a small man. He was small enough to where his friends could let him down in a basket over a wall so that he could escape persecution and possibly even death. He was that small to where some of his friends, and I don't think there were huge baskets. There would have been a basket small enough, but that took some strength of your friends to let you down. The very name Paul, he changed his name from Saul, which means, or had the royal incantation, if I can say it that way, to Paul, which means small, insignificant. That's what the name Paul means. And so I don't think he ever wanted us to read into the scripture that he penned with the attitude that Paul was just fondly looking off into heaven because that's what his next destination was. I believe Paul's making an emotional, sincere plea to God's people. And in that plea, he says, look, I am in a strait. I'm in a place, in a position in my life where I'm just ready to go. I believe I got scripture to back that up when he wrote Timothy. He said, for the time of my departure is at hand. Didn't he? He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord himself shall give unto me at that day. And thank God for that. And that's his victory cry. And I see Paul being very real and being sincere in these letters that he's writing. He's not giving us something that is otherworldly, although it turns that way. But he says, I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Now, I know we haven't underwent the persecution that he went through, but has there ever been a time in your life where you're just ready to be done? Now, I'm a young man yet. I'm 45 years old. If I live as long as my uncle lived, I'll be 90. He made it double past me, amen. And if I get to be so blessed, and praise God for it. But there are times in my life where I'm just done with the troubles and trials of life, especially as you grow and you learn more about what heaven is, or you get more people over there on the other side, or you get more loved ones that have gone on. And so you do get to a point where emotionally you say, you know what, it'd be okay. And I think that's harder for younger, and I can say this because we're all adults in here in the room. I believe it's harder for younger folks to understand that somebody was ready to go. I remember David Sweat, the last big day that he was at. He's sitting back there, and it was one of the last ones that we had. We had it here, but we were out there, and we had some singers that were doing just a little bit of singing that year, and they were sitting out there, and he motioned his hand over there to me, and I walked over there to him, and he said, made some little bit of small talk, and then I said, how you feeling? He said, well, preacher, I'm ready to go home. And I said, well, hey, no problem, man. You give me a couple minutes, I'll get some men over here. We're going to pick you up, put you in your car, and Miss Jones going to drive you home. And he smiled at me. He said, no, I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to go home, preacher. And it wasn't but the next week, that next Saturday, that he went home. And it's hard to understand that. But there may be a point in your life where you've been through so much life that you're just ready to go on. That happens. I don't think that it is completely part of depression, but it could be. I'll leave that there. Nevertheless, verse number 24. Some of y'all looking at me kind of strange. Verse number 24 comes in and says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul's made this emotional plea. Paul has told everybody he's done. But then he says, you know what? Other people's needs are more important than mine. Talk about a minister's heart. Now, I'm not just talking about the minister, the pastor of the church, stands in the pulpit. I'm talking about a heart geared toward ministry. I'm going to put somebody else's needs ahead of mine, because for me to stay here, I'm ready to go. And I believe that Paul had the power with God and the relationship with God, that had he prayed for God to take him out of the world, God might have taken him pretty quickly. But he did not. He did pray three times that God would remove the thorn in the flesh, and the Lord told him, said, my grace is sufficient for thee. I believe that maybe he come to a place in his life here where he said, you know what, that same sufficient grace when I was writing to Corinth and I'd prayed to God about that, it's going to be the same sufficient grace that's going to keep me going when I look across the aisle, or I look across the way and I see that there's somebody in Philippi that needs me to come down there and preach to them. There's somebody at Philippi that I'm ready to go. I'm ready to get out of this world, but there's somebody that needs me more than I need to be gone. The Apostle Paul put the needs of other people ahead of himself. That's what we're seeing here in this passage of Scripture. That we're seeing the selflessness of a life lived in ministry. And I'm not just talking about the pulpit ministry. I'm talking about it could be the ministry of nursing, or the ministry of street preaching, or being a mom and understanding that, man, life is tough right now, but I'm going to continue going because there's people that need me. Or being a dad that says, man, I things are going haywire and my life feels like it's out of control and I don't have a good handle on everything. I feel like I haven't built anything. That's okay. Just keep going. Continuing is more important, because there's somebody out there that needs you more than you need to quit. Amen. He said, it's more needful for you that I abide in the flesh. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue. I have the confidence that I'm going to stick around. because you need me. I'm going to hang out here because you need me a little while longer. There's more than I can do than just fall off the scene. I shall abide and continue. That little word abide, it's an incredible word. It doesn't mean to just stay. It means to stay there with someone as long as they need you to. My uncle passed away in 2000, December of 2000. He passed away. Another uncle, my Uncle Harold. And I had a lot of uncles, y'all. My daddy's the baby of 12. Had a lot of them there. And in 2000, December 15th, 2000, he passed away. And I was sitting there with my pastor at Harold's house. And I looked over at my preacher and I said, what do you do? What do you say in something like this? And he just looked at me and said, you don't do nothing. You just be here. You don't talk. Amen. You don't voice your opinion. You just be here. And that was revolutionary to me. I'd never heard that. Just be here. Just be present. Just abide with someone. Just let them know that I'm here. He said, I'm going to abide and I'm going to continue with you. And here's why I'm going to do this. Look what the Bible says. For your furtherance. Paul wasn't doing this. He wasn't writing this letter to Philippi for me to get in the pulpit and brag about how great a guy Paul was. And he wasn't doing it so that everybody would say how nice Paul was and what a good job Paul did ministering to Philippi, or what a good job he did in this letter. Paul did this because he knew that there were people that spiritually could go further, but they needed someone to abide and to guide them through that walk. That's why. And I had to get on to myself a little bit and be careful not to let. But that's why I believe that a pastoral position is more than just something you do as a job. The shepherd ought to smell like the sheep. It ought to be that we know, and it's almost impossible, but I do my best to get to know everybody a little bit. Because I want to be invested in people, amen? Because I know there's somebody, one person sitting in this room on Sunday morning, they're a spiritual giant, and they know the Bible cover to cover. But there's another person sitting in this room on Sunday mornings that's barely cracked the Bible a day in their life. And they don't know everything. They don't know what the Bible says. And they don't know what church is all about. And so they need the pastor to be to them what they stand in need of. And they need the pastor, the person that knows everything about the Bible. And I keep pointing over here at Miss Tara. I'm going to make it Brother Steve. He's like, you better get me out of that loop. You have to be able to communicate effectively to both of those. That's what Paul understood. That while he's making this statement here, of what I've always read is about heaven, was really, excuse me, about getting somebody else across the finish line. It was more about making sure that they got further down the line, that they understood better, that they knew more. That's probably my greatest fear as a pastor, is that people will have me as their pastor, I will phase off the scene, and they will be no better spiritually for having had me as their pastor. That terrifies me. That if someone comes and sits under my ministry, and if you're a Sunday school teacher or a head of household, whatever it may be, it ought to terrify you too, to think that somebody would be encountered in your life and not be any better spiritually having known you. That's a sobering thought. And that's what Paul's saying here. I'm doing this for your furtherance. And then he says, your joy of faith. Your joy of faith. He didn't necessarily say your joy in faith, but he does say your joy of faith. There are a lot of days that believing in the Lord is the only thing that carries me through. Believing in His Word, there are times, there has been times in my life where I was upset and disappointed with God, and I was angry at Him. I remember when my mother-in-law passed away. I loved her, and she was a wonderful woman. She died young, and when she passed away, I knew that now I was having to process this. I was pastoring a church, leading my family, needed to help navigate my wife through that. Still didn't have a clue, still don't have a clue what she went through, and not looking forward to it or anything of that nature. But I was angry. I was upset with God. And I remember coming into my house one night. We had a big entertainment center there in the house, and I would lay my Bible up on top of it. I remember coming into my house, and I took my Bible, and I just laid it down there, and I looked at my Bible, and I said, I really don't care about anything you have to say right now. Now, it's a wonder the Lord didn't strike me dead, but that's where I was. That's where I was. I was angry. I was upset. I was discouraged. I was disappointed with God. I didn't know why that He was leading my family through that kind of thing. I didn't understand that. And at that moment, I was like, Paul, man, I'm ready to go with her. I'm just ready to go. But there were some people at a little church off Pool Road that needed me a little bit more. There were some people that one day that in January of 2017 would call me and say, hey, we want you to come preach it at Gateway Baptist Church as, you know, be a possible candidate for our pastor. The Lord knew more than I knew. And He let me go through that discouraging time and that angry time and that disappointed time with Him so that when I stood up here in the pulpit, I could be authentic with you. And that's what Paul said here. He said, I'm here for your furtherance and for your joy of faith. The Christian life is not always roses and fresh apples, man. Sometimes it's rotten bananas and onions. Somebody say amen right there. Sometimes it is straight up discouragement all day, every day. Some days you get hit one right after the other. If you ain't dealing with something personal, you got something else going on inside the church. Jeremiah said that his eye affected his heart. The things that he saw that affected his heart, he was heartbroken over the daughter of Zion. That is a minister's heart. And I'm including you guys in this ministry thing because you're as much of a minister as I am. Paul said, I'm here for the furtherance of you and for your joy of faith. Watch this in verse 26, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. He never mentions himself. He never talks about how he could just bring joy to somebody. He takes the light off of him and he shines it on the Lord. He says, yeah, I'm ready to go. Yes, I'm tired. Yes, I've dealt with a lot of things. But praise God, I want your rejoicing to be more abundant in Jesus Christ. Watch this. For me. Yeah, old Paul, a little bit discouraged. Old Paul ready to throw in towel. Old Paul ready to give up. But I want you to rejoice. I want you to rejoice in the Lord. For me. You won't find a time, and I've kind of turned it this way, I guess, but you won't find a time where Paul whined and had a pity party about the place he was in. And when you read about it, when you read about his life, he had every reason. John, that man had every reason to get discouraged and to quit. Nobody in my 45 years, not one person has ever physically harmed me for preaching the Bible, preaching the Word of God. I've never physically been harmed to date for preaching the Word of God. But Paul was. I have never been put in prison. Matter of fact, I have walked into prisons. My brother talks about his prison experience sometime. When he was down there, we went to visit him one time. It was around April, about this time of year. And me and Laurie and my dad and my stepmother, Melba, we went down to visit him. And when we were walking in, this lady, a black lady that was a guard there at the little check-in area, she said, "I know who you kin to. You look just like your brother." I said, "Honey, you better make sure that it's me that comes out of here." Amen. That's all I got to say. I ain't changing clothes with that rascal. You better make sure it's me that comes out of here. If you think I look that much like him, you better make sure it's me that walks out these bars tonight here in a little while. Once we get in, I've went into prisons. I've went to the jail. I remember one time on New Year's Eve, Brother Nick Keller had me down there at the Carroll County Jail, and we were preaching, man, we was on the third floor. That's where they put the, that's the bad stuff right there. And we were on the third floor. Man, I was preaching away, and the power went out in the jail. Yeah, that ain't a place you want to be, I promise you that. And them inmates went to hooping and hollering, and they were jumping around. And I heard that old guard, he said, "Don't move, preacher, don't move." And I thought, "You ain't got to worry about that, son. You got nothing to worry about. I'm going to stand right here. I'm going to be right here in this little room that you've made into a pulpit and let me preach in. I ain't going nowhere." Lights wasn't out but about 30 seconds. That was a long 30 seconds, I can promise you that. Amen. I've went into prisons. I've went into jails. I've had the liberty to preach in there, but I've never been imprisoned for preaching the gospel. If anything, I've been invited to go preach the gospel. Paul says that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. These things that he's done, that he's been invited to do, he wants you to be happy about them. There are things that have happened in my life, but Paul wants you to be glad for them because they've went to the furtherance of the gospel, is what he tells us. Then he tells them, he gives them a little bit of an outline there in verse number 27. We are running pretty early, but that'll be all right. Get y'all out of here early. Y'all ain't going to leave anyway. Y'all going to stay around and talk. He said, only let your conversation, that's your walk. Your conversation is, you know, we think of conversation, we think of a one-on-one conversation or something of that nature. But he's talking about your appearance, your walk in Christ, who you are, your attitude, everything about you. That's what he means when he says your conversation. Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. He said, hey, how you live, how you walk, how you talk, it needs to look like you're promoting Christ when you go out there. That whether I come and see you, so he's not there yet, or else I be absent, that I may hear of your affairs, and that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So he gave them a charge. He told them what condition he was in. He told them how he was feeling. And then he realized that for them to grow and for them to know more and for them to get to this place where their conversation be as it becometh the gospel, it was going to take Paul hanging around. See, God puts us in one another's life to help each other. Proverbs said it like this, iron sharpens iron. We're not here to tear each other down. We're here to build each other up. We're not here to pick each other apart. We're here to put each other back together. You know, one of my favorite things about old Job in the Old Testament, Job was broken, and his body was broken, had them old sores. And the Bible says that Job took potsherds. Y'all remember that? And he scraped his bowls. Imagine how that must have felt, how it must have looked, how it must have smelt. But something that's always intrigued me about that was just one broken vessel helping another broken vessel. Man, that's all we are at the church. Just a bunch of broken vessels helping other broken vessels. One beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. That's all we are. Got the land of Lodabar, and the king comes down to us and says, come eat at my table. That's all we are. Just beggars that God used and put in place and got us here for a reason. I think I'm done. I would love to be able to have something that feels as dynamic to me as it possibly could, but I guess if I could encourage you in anything, it would be hang around a little longer. Try and grow a little more. Get in there with somebody. You never know what somebody in church has been facing that you going through or been through, and you liable to be able to help them up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray and be dismissed, and then we'll go further. Brother Kevin, will you dismiss us, please, in a word of prayer?